How you doing, everybody? Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, as I always say, we're strangers and pilgrims passing through. Don't get too comfortable down here. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of all the riches, and the lusts that enter in will definitely try to choke everything out. We'll try to definitely put a bushel on the light. You were saved for a reason. You were translated into a different kingdom. You were given a different soul, spirit. You were literally plucked out. That's what happened to us. We were plucked out. But it doesn't mean we're exempt from the devil trying to pull us back through temptations. In other words, he can't do it. But he has this thing called a temptation, which is a very strange thing. Because of itself, it has no power. It's all on you. Are you going to give into it or not? You know, I saw an interesting trailer to a movie. I'm watching, I was watching a preacher. And he was explaining this movie and he showed the trailer. And it was called The Little Mermaid. But it's a different Little Mermaid, trust me. It's kind of a horror show. It's these mermaids are beautiful female women. They aren't cartoons. And the excerpt is that they come up to a boat. They're all beautiful mermaids. And you have six or seven guys in there. They're half drunk. They're, you know, elusive. They're men, bar men, you could say. I don't know, fishermen, whatever. But little by little, they're getting picked off. They're getting picked off. They're falling for it. They're falling for it. The mermaid comes up. Says how beautiful, and the men are saying how beautiful you are. But they don't know they're mermaids. They just see the upper part of them. Beautiful faces, beautiful bodies. They don't know they're mermaids. And then they start kissing, and that mermaid grabs that man, pulls him right down the water, and he never sees life again. Gave in to the temptation. That's to a degree. That's what we're dealing with, gang. A lot of these things look good. You never get really tempted by something that's ugly. All right, I don't care what it is. You're not going to get tempted by, cars in a junkyard. You're not going to get tempted by things that aren't pleasing to the eye. It's things that look good, things that are going to make you feel good, things that are going to, help out your pride, your role. Expand your horizons, whatever it might be. The things of this world, the God of this world, small g, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. There's only one way, and that is the cross, Jesus Christ. No other way. We've let so many false religions in. We've become so tolerant. It's the biggest trick in the book to become so tolerant. Eve should have said no. And Adam should have said, see that tree? Don't get within 100 miles of that tree. God said, don't eat it. Don't even get close to it. No, there's no other way. Jesus isn't a fable. We needed a blood sacrifice. We needed a lamb from the Father. The lamb was his word. His word became flesh. That flesh's name was Jesus. And the power of Jesus, because of the cross, because of the sacrifice, we were given the Holy Spirit. So now you have the Father, Jesus, the Word, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, living in you, all giving you the ability to overcome temptation and walk a straight walk. That's what it is. So don't give in, gang. Want to go to Lamentations. It's basically, you could almost, Jeremiah is like a dad whose son has gone wayward. He's crying in his soup. He sees what's happened to Jerusalem. He sees God's chosen people in bondage, going, the Babylonians have come. They've taken them over, all right? And this is basically what he says took place. Chapter 4, how has the gold become dim? How has the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. All right, everything's destroyed. What used to be fine gold, God's chosen people, it's become dim. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? They used to be something special. They knew God. They followed God, but they fell away. And the consequence was imprisonment. This is the consequence. Even the sea monsters draw out the breasts. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the suckling child cleaves to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. Even little kids weren't shown mercy. What he's saying here, even the sea monsters, even every creature, the mother takes care of the young. But no, and you see it. Think of abortion. Think of what's happened in this country. Think of all the abandonment of kids. It's happening here. This is what's happening right now. They that did feed delicately are now desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. This is what sin will do to you, Christian. You may have been blessed. God, if at the very least, all right, maybe you didn't get the best physical blessings, but you may have had peace in your heart. You may have had a conviction, but you've slowly gone away. You've gone away, little by little, like a 10-year-old kid smoking that cigarette, taking those couple puffs when he's 8 to 9 to 10 years old. And all of a sudden, before you know it, he's 20 and he's on heroin. He's 22 and he's dead. He just didn't jump in it, gang. He started it. Just like a little girl dressing up like a you-know-what. Little girls putting up makeup on, and little girls with short skirts. It's not cute, gang. Little girls like that, you know what they could turn into. The door is getting open. And then we're warned here by Jeremiah. God's people were God's people. He was the Lord their God. Think of what he did to them in the wilderness and how he fed them and the bread came down from heaven and how he took care of them. But we go through these cycles where the Lord takes care of you and then you forget about it. And then you get knocked down to the knees and then the Lord takes care of you and you forget about it. We must stay on track. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hands stayed on her. Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in the body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. In other words, the nobles of that land, the Nazarites, they were it. They were it. They were at the top of their game as God's people, but this is what happened. But now their visage, how they look, is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets anymore. Their skin cleaves to their bones. It is withered. It has become like a stick. What used to be fat and strong and muscular now is basically starving and dead. And these were the nobles of the land. Gang, this is what happens. This is God's judgment, all right? America at one time, of course nobody's perfect, but at one time there was a church on every street corner and people were actually going in. Now I get it. The church isn't going to do it. The building isn't going to do it. The bricks aren't going to do it. But still they got out of bed and they went into a church, at least by conscience sake, by conscience sake. But what happened? Well, they were in that church. They weren't in Jesus. And that's what we have now. That's little by little, it fell away. How do you get out of it? Take care of yourself. First commandment, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. Second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Learn to love yourself. You might ask, how do I love myself? You love yourself by following the first commandment. That's how you love yourself. Not by pampering yourself with things. Oh, I'm going to take care of myself. It's time I took care of myself. No, we got it all wrong. You don't take care of yourself with things. You take care of yourself by renewing your mind with the Word of God, walking in love, walking in forgiveness, walking in repentance, turning from your wicked ways, turning, getting convicted and running the other way. This is how you love yourself, because you were a creation made by God for His glory. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that are slain with hunger. How about that? They that are slain with the sword are better than they that are slain with a hunger. You know what being slain with a hunger is? A slow death. A slow, nasty, cruel death versus just whop. You know, how long does it take to get beheaded? Poof, and you're gone. Sudden death, sudden glory. But the curse from God of hunger is a slow death. And this is what it's taking God to get the attention of His children. Don't wait, gang. Don't wait for God to strike you down with something to get your attention. I'm on my knees all the time. Lord, I don't want a heart attack to teach me to slow me down. Lord, I don't want some disease to get me on my knees. I want to get on my knees right now, today. Repent. Don't esteem myself higher than anybody else. Nobody. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through the wants of fruits of the field. They want it. They want it. They want the fruits of the field, but they can't get it because they're lost in their own sin. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. The word sodden means no have boiled their own children. They that were meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people, they turned to cannibalism. You might say, that's ridiculous. No, no. This is actually in the physical. Right? The people had become so hungry, they were eating their own children. Yeah. Yeah. Get a load of that. Do you plant your food? Do you kill a cow? Do you go out and get your eggs? Do you milk a cow? Do you get your own gasoline? Do you have your own electrical factory? All these things could be gone in a minute. Could be gone in a minute. And once those hunger pains start coming, gang, you better get your soul right. I better get my soul right now and not take all these things for granted. And every time that fork even gets close to my mouth, I better be thanking God for that food. And this is also a parable of what happens if you're not renewing your mind with God's word. Because this is all foreshadowing. I am reading a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. I am reading a foreshadowing of a judgment that happens to you. Once you die, it's appointed for one for a man to die, and then the judgment. And I guarantee it's going to be a dress rehearsal of your life. Why shouldn't it be? The Lord says, examine your life while you're here. Repent of things while you're here, so you won't have to do that afterwards. The Lord has accomplished His fury. He has poured out His fierce anger and has kindled a fire in Zion and has devoured the foundations thereof. You know, these people had wrong foundations. His people had the wrong foundation. What's your foundation? What's my foundation? Is it money? Is it religion? You know, is it reputation? A lot of us Christians could build foundations on, I'm a good guy. I give money to this person. I give money to that person. Hey, it's your direct relationship with Jesus Christ and realizing that, yes, you are a creation and He is a creator. And this is the only way God could destroy that foundation is by burning it down. And a lot of times it is the bread of affliction. Yes, it is. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. You know, the gate of Jerusalem, Jerusalem's the holy city. You're supposed to be the holy city now, all right? And remember back to when you first got reborn. And if you've fallen away, if you've backslidden, if you've gone back to the pig pen, right? This message could be for you or for I, right? Because he's warning us. Who'd ever believe it? At one time, Joe was thanking God. He was loving the Lord. He was doing this, he was doing that. And all of a sudden, maybe it was one little girl gave him that little look. Or he started whining about this little thing. And all of a sudden, the Spirit entered in. Or he had a relative get under his skin. And all of a sudden, forgiveness ended up getting in. And bitterness started growing. Watch it, gang. Watch it, gang. Once saved, always saved. This is my standard answer. Just keep believing and you don't have to worry about it. Keep believing. Nobody could have been any more saved than Adam. And he got thrown out. All right. So it wasn't once saved for him. He got thrown out. Why? Because he went against God's word. And he's my example. The whole Old Testament is for my example, according to Peter. Well, I'll leave it right there. I could continue. But the moral or the story, forget the moral, the actual story is this is a walk. It's a daily walk. It's a journey. It's a path. And Jesus is actually referred to as the way, the truth, and the life. Stay on the way. The gate is going to be narrow. Things might be great. Stay in the narrow gate. Things might be bad. Stay in the narrow gate. It's not relative. What's relative is today is the day of salvation. And God bless you and amen.